بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is a quotation of Zajji Mawla Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. It is not possible for any person to become a sheikh. One is to be pious. Pious everybody can become. Leave out haram and accomplish the obligations and you'll become pious. And one is to dispense of reformation and piety, to guide others, to rectify others, to put people onto the track, give them a guidance. Now that's a different job, it's a different portfolio entirely. So one is to become a wali and one is to become a muslih. To become pious or to become the friend of Allah Ta'ala, that is one level. And the other level is to be able to put others right as well. Right? And in simpler words, one is a person who is enjoying good health. So this person that is enjoying good health, his health doesn't put him into a position where he can now dispense of medication and cure people. Right? That's a different level. One is to enjoy that good health. You have learned more or less, all right, what my body requires for my body to be well, for my health to be well, what my body requires, that you've understood. That's one level. But to be able to put others right when they are sick, they are ailing, they've got problems, to guide them, to rectify them, to give them a direction in their health, that's a different thing altogether. So this is where some of us make a mistake. So, you know, this person is very pious, he's a wali and he will be able to guide us along. There may be no doubt in the piety of the person, in the righteousness of the person, there may be no doubt. We don't doubt the integrity, we don't doubt the righteousness, but definitely there are different responsibilities, different levels. One person wrote up to Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that, I feel ashamed of making zikr in the masjid. In view of everybody, everybody will see, and it may be publicity. A riya will come into my heart that I'm doing it for show. And number two, it may be some disturbance for people. And then I'm doing it loudly, so it's going to definitely disturb someone. You know, and I'm doing it loud. So allow me to do it secretly, and allow me to do it softly. So the reply went up to him. Then no, you do it aloud and do it in the masjid. As for you saying that you want to do it secretly, then when you are going to do it in the masjid, nobody will count you as a pious person. They won't consider you to be pious and righteous. For the simple reason is that when they see you doing it loudly, swinging your head and making zikr a little loudly, they will think that this man is not right in his head. That's why he's swinging his head. So they won't attribute this to piety and righteousness. They won't consider you, count you as a pious person. And you will do it in the masjid, don't do it in the home. Right? But you'll do it at a time where you're not going to disturb anybody. Obviously now if everybody is there, it's namaz time, you're not going to do it then. Or if someone is resting in the masjid, you won't do it at that time. This is going to cause a disturbance. You do it at another time where you don't disturb anybody. Right? Now, this urge that's come up into your heart that you want to do it softly and you want to do it secretly, etc., is basically coming up for two reasons. The reason that you want to do it softly is this, and secretly is, you will do your zikr every day in the masjid before Fajr, alright? As it is your routine, you will do it before Fajr. So one day it may be that you are delayed in making your zikr. It may come a little bit late. And when you come a little bit late, then the whole masjid is going to talk that Hazrat that used to make zikr is not in the masjid today. Something happened to him. He overslept. Something happened. So now it's going to be a little bit of embarrassment. And now you had a style, used to come before Fajr, half an hour, make your zikr, etc. The whole masjid came to know about it. And one day you didn't do it. Now, what excuse am I going to put up before people? How am I going to face up to people? So it's going to be a little bit of embarrassment that you're going to suffer. To save yourself this embarrassment, you are asking to make that zikr secretly. Number two, you want to do the zikr softly. So you will do the zikr softly when you're going to lower your head and you're going to make the zikr softly. So what's going to happen? There's going to be two problems. One is perhaps you may just fall asleep. Softly you're doing it. You're making with a good intention, but you're doing it softly. So you may just fall asleep. And number two, people that are going to watch you and they're going to observe you, what will they do? They will feel, Hazrat is gone to the first Asman. Now he's going, escalating, he's going to the second Asman. If you don't know where his maqam is. See? So you'll do it in the simple way, you'll avoid all these problems. So now, this type of subtle and very, very discreet aspects of the nafs, who picks it up? It is these mashayikh that pick up these type of discreet problems. See? Now we look at it at one surface, and these people look at it at another surface. Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi, he got up one day in the morning and his nafs is having it out with him. His nafs is debating with him. His nafs is telling him that you are bakhil, you are a miser. And he's answering his nafs that, no, I'm not a miser. The nafs is saying with more strength, no, you are a miser. You are definitely a miser. And he is opposing, I'm not a miser. So the nafs says, alright. The heart says, alright, we'll prove it. You know? We'll prove it that you are a miser. Or there must be some test, there must be some challenge that we can prove it that you are a miser or not. He says, alright, I've got a bag of gold coins. And the first poor person that we see on the street will give the whole bag to him. Deserving person, poor person, eligible person will give it to him. It's a bag of gold coins, approximately 100 gold coins. So, Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullahi goes in the morning and he sees one old man, blind, and he's having his hair cut. So he says, now he's a blind man and he's having a haircut, and perhaps he may be a needy person, let me give it to him. Looks like a pious person outwardly, looks like a good person. So he goes up to him and he says, Hafiji, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a gift. So the blind man says, that it's good you brought the gift. I didn't have the fees to pay the barber, you know. So maybe you can just pay the whole thing to him. So he says to this blind man, but there's 100 gold coins in this. You may be thinking it's 1 shilling or 2 shilling, 1 rand, 2 rand, there's 100 gold coins in this. Now the blind man is telling Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullahi, kya humne kaha nahi tha ki tu bakhil hai? Didn't we say that you were a miser? Didn't we say that you were a miser? Now, he is scratching his head, ke isne to andar ke chor ko pakar liya. The chor, the thief that was within my heart, this Hafiz, he picked it up. He sensed it, that there is something that I'm hiding with him, I'm concealing, I'm suppressing within myself. Anyway, he went to offer it to the barber, the one that is giving this haircut. Now the barber says that when this blind man came and sat on my chair today, I made that intention that I will do this only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to give him a haircut only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, for no other reason. So in tikre ki wada se main apne niyat ko kharab nahi karta ho. For this dirt, I'm not going to spoil my intention. 100 guineas. Now that gold price, I think about 5,000 rands per guinea, per coin. So Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah says, on that day, the amount of embarrassment I suffered, I never suffered in my life. I went and threw that money away, and I said, Allah Ta'ala tujhe naas kare, may Allah Ta'ala ruin you, and jo usko dil se lagaye, the one that attaches it to his heart, Allah Ta'ala uska bhi naas kare, may Allah Ta'ala destroy him as well. So these subtle, discreet aspects of the nafs, right? These are the things that the mashayikh, they identify, they recognize. Right? Obviously, different fields for likulli fannin rijal, right? For every field, you have men, you have specialized people for that respective field. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala. So, for the reformation and correction of the soul, Allah Ta'ala has got different people in place. That these people will correct you, and they will correct your intentions, they will correct your heart. Right? Like Allah Ta'ala has got different people, specialized people in other fields, material, building, structural, etc. So for the reformation of the heart, Allah Ta'ala has got people in place. Right? And by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, you go to them, they will diagnose, they will see your problem, they will work out some type of a prescription. You follow the prescription, inshallah, you will see that things will work out for you. It comes right. Right? But the most important thing in this prescription is two things. One is this, like we read yesterday or the day before, the aspect of fana'iyat. The aspect of fana'iyat, that is like a precondition for progress in this path. Fana'iyat, simply put, means that you surrender yourself entirely. Don't restrict yourself. That is, provided you want Islah, you want reformation. One is, someone has come only for the mahol, you come for the gathering, for the company and association to take barakah, that's a different level. That is a different level, that's also good. Hum qawmun la yashqa jaleesuhum. When it's a group of people that are on righteousness, they have gathered for some righteousness, they see a righteous company, they see people engaged in ibadat, etc., etc. So you come for the blessings of the righteous company. So that's also a very great thing. The hadith says, "Hum qawmun la yashqa jaleesuhum." Someone comes and spends some time, 1 day, 2 days. So that's also a very great thing, a very noble thing, that their sins are also forgiven. Hum qawmun la yashqa jaleesuhum. Nobody is deprived. Mekhana ka mahroom bhi mahroom nahi. See? Mekhana ka mahroom bhi mahroom nahi. In other words, the house of love, the house of love, you know, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the house or the assembly of love, the one that comes to the assembly of love, even though outwardly he may be seem to be deprived, he's not deprived. He also gets blessing. Outwardly it seemed, oh, he came here, spent a day and went away. Outwardly it seems he is deprived. No, he's not deprived. So, Mekhana ka mahroom bhi mahroom nahi. The one comes just for the blessings of the company, he is also not deprived. He also gets the blessings of the company. Allama Razi rahmatullahi, we have heard of his name, right? The founder of medicine or philosophy. English they call him Razis. So he had gone to Shamsuddin Kubra rahmatullahi for his reformation and correction. So the Shaykh told him, all right, this is the tasbih you will do, this is the zikr that you will do. He started it off, and as he started it off, he saw something leaving him. He's starting the zikr, whatever, and something is leaving him now. He can feel it, he can perceive it, that there's something that's leaving his body. He then related his halat to the Shaykh, that I started the zikr that you recommended, and I see something leaving. He says, well, that is all that philosophy that you had been learning, this is leaving you. It's all trash. So he complains, hey, I can't leave this thing out, because I spent years in toiling to acquire this. Now you mean to say that what I've toiled and learned after so many years, this is going to go away from me. So the Shaykh tried to comfort him and told him, see, Allah Ta'ala will replace you with a knowledge that is far better. Philosophy, etc., these other sciences, they are such, okay, they are all theories, right? Hypotheses, theories, right? It may be someone may come up with a theory, you know, and it may seem to be right. 10 years later, you discover that's wrong. Like Darwin's theory, right? Evolution. And he spoke about it, people went up with it, and they wrote doctorates and what. And after some 10, 15 years, they found it was a farce. He just found some bones this side, that side, and he put it together and put some type of a chemical to camouflage the thing, made it seem as though it was 10,000 years back. And this is what he concocted. So they discovered it later on, after 10, 20 years, they discovered that this was a big farce. Right? So this Shamsuddin Kubra rahmatullah explains to him that you see this philosophy, etc., these sciences that you learn, they are subject to change all the time. Today someone may discover some theory, and 10 years, 20 years down the line, someone else may come and disprove it, someone may find that it's false, and it goes on, so forth and so on. So what is the good in this type of science? What they spoke about the earth, say 50, 70 years ago, today's discovery is totally different. Perhaps another 50 years time they may say something else again. So what's the good of going by these people? That is why inadvertently one thing has to be understood here, that you find nowadays some books coming up and trying to prove some scientific facts through the Quran Sharif, the human embryo, etc., etc. This is not the right thing. Remember, this is not the right thing. The Quran Sharif says, Hudan lil muttaqin. That's the first verse in the Quran. Hudan lil muttaqin. This Quran is a book of guidance. Right? Hudan lil muttaqin. It's a book for guidance. So if one is concerned about guidance, he's searching for guidance, he will find it in the Quran Sharif. Allah Pak did not make an announcement that this is a book for scientists, did he say that? Is this the claim of Allah Ta'ala, that this is a book for people of science? No, Allah never said this. Yes, he definitely said, Udan lil muttaqeen. So if you are searching for guidance, you will find it there. And if you are looking for science, then this is not the claim of Allah Ta'ala. If something comes in, by the way, inadvertently, something comes in, it came in. Right? But you will not use the book of Allah Ta'ala as a science book, scientific book. Now someone may say, hey, why can't we use it? Why don't we use it? I'm explaining that science is always subject to change. Today is changed, tomorrow the theory changed again, and so forth and so on. If you are proving some scientific fact through the Quran Sharif, and na'uzubillah, after 50 years, there was some change to it. Now, people say, no, the Quran Sharif is wrong, na'uzubillah. Won't they come to that conclusion, that today you prove it through the Quran Sharif, another 50 years time they found out that fact was wrong. So, haven't you made the Quran Sharif, haven't you exposed it to all this type of thing, to doubt, to suspicion? So that is the failure of understanding what the Quran Sharif is talking about. What is the subject matter? The subject matter of the Quran Sharif is not the science. The subject matter of the The claim that the Quran Sharif is making is that hudan lil muttaqin. It's a guidance. If you are looking for guidance, you will get the guidance in it. Right. Brother Muhammad Thangi Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Sahanpur one day. So there was a graduate of a university. In that zamana, a graduate of a university was a very big thing. Today it's like a plaything, nothing. In that zamana it was like a big thing. So he was discussing something with Muhammad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh about this verse here, Hudal lil Muttaqeen. Right? So Muhammad was trying to explain it to him, but it was not sinking, getting into his head. Perhaps Muhammad was using those istilahat and those technical terms that appear in the tafsir. Now to understand those technical terms, then you need to have some understanding of the terms itself, the terms that they are using in the Quran or in the tafsir. You need to be acquainted, and he is not acquainted. And Mawlana picked it up. Okay, this person is not acquainted with these terms. So his question was this, Hudal lil muttaqeen, that the Quran Sharif is a guidance for who? For those that have taqwa. Right. For those that have taqwa, then it is a guidance for them. So then I don't have taqwa. If I don't have taqwa, then is this book not a means of my guidance? Right? What he's saying, see now, the problem with those people, they just take the literal translation. They don't understand the tafsir, and they don't understand the Arabic language so well. So whatever they understand, little that they understand, and they take that as a conclusion, and then that causes a doubt in their minds against the Quran. So now, literally how it's translating, it's a guidance for the muttaqeen. Right? It's a guidance for the righteous. So that means those that are not righteous, it's not a means of their guidance. Right? That's what it would amount to. Right? The person is a non-Muslim, it's not a means of his guidance, because there is no question of righteousness in a non-Muslim. So now, how do you translate this? How do you explain this? Now, not being conversant with the language will bring you to this conclusion. So Mawlana understood it. Now Mawlana tried to bring it to the terms that he understands. So you have to relate to the person in the language that he understands. So Mawlana Thangi Sahib Rahmatullah says, you were in university for some years, right? He said, yes. And you saw that they were offering some courses, BA and MA, etc., right? He said, yeah, yes. So if there is a notice out there in the board, or there is a brochure, that these are the subjects that are taught in BA, in order for you to pass and to graduate as a BA, these are the subjects. So they will say that these are the subjects for graduating as a BA. Right? So what does it mean? It means that if you want to get a BA's degree, then you have to study these subjects. So this is exactly the claim of the Quran Sharif, that if you want to become a muttaqi, then this is the guide book for you. Like you will say that these are the subjects in order to graduate as a BA, then this is the book of guidance for that person who wishes to become the muttaqi. As-sa'ireena ila taqwa. Right? Simple as that. You want to become muttaqi, you want to become righteous, then this is the guidebook that will lead you towards righteousness. Mawlana told him, Khuda tera bhala kare, Sahanpuri sahab from Thami sahab rahmatullahi, subho se ye meri maghzmari kar raha hai. From the morning he's eating up my brains, I couldn't explain him in his language. I was explaining him, but according to the istilahat that appear in the Quran Sharif. And you explain it to him in a language that he identifies. He understands. As-sa'ireena ila taqwa. That finished up, ended up, another person comes up. Now, he's also a graduate of the Aligarh University with the Achkan coat and all the proper Qaida Sari came. And He says to Mawlana, he's got an objection. What's the objection? The objection is this, that Mawlana, you have got a kitab, Behesht-e Zewar, you see. And there is one masla there about the husband being in the west and the wife being in the east, and a child is born, and you will say it's legitimate. These are masla there, alright? It's a specific situation. So the husband is in the east, the wife is in the west. Both are poles apart, right? And here, if the child is born and the husband does not disclaim it, then that child is a legitimate child. So now this person says, Mawlana, but I can't understand this. So Mawlana asked him, do you fail to understand the masla, or you fail to understand the reason of the masla? He said, no, I understand the masla, but the reasoning behind it I didn't understand. I understand the masla itself, but the reason behind the masla, that I didn't understand. So Mawlana explained him, alright, the reason behind all the other maslas that are in this kitab, have you understood all those? Now he got caught out. But if he's going to say that, no, I understood all the reasoning behind all the other maslas, then Mawlana says, main ek masla karke unko poochta ki acha uski kya daleel hai, uski kya daleel hai, uski kya daleel hai. I would have asked him every single masla, about 5,000-6,000 maslas there. I would ask him, one masla, I'll ask him, do you understand what is the dalil for this? What is the proof for this? What is the reasoning for this? No. So he says, no, I didn't understand the reasoning behind all these other masail. So Mawlana says, alright, when you didn't understand the reasoning behind all the other masail, this reasoning that you didn't understand, just add it to that list. Just include it to that list. Finish. You didn't understand 5,000, yeah? So add this also to that list. Why specifically? Why you want to be specific to this reasoning? Wo bhi zara apna muh lekar ke khada hokar ke chala gaya. That person also, he got up and he went away. Now a third person came. He tried to act like a very big, important person. Mota hokar ke aaya, right? He came. So he says, logo ka haal to bahut hi bura ho gaya. People are not good nowadays, you know. They don't have the type of respect all that for the ulama. So, Mawlana, you must have a big jalsa, you know, and must clear all his doubts. You know? Now he's playing as though he's siding with Mawlana, that they don't have the degree of confidence in this ulama and all that. So because they don't have the type of respect for the ulama, you know, ulama explaining hadith and Quran, and these people are objecting. So have that jalsa, have that big gathering, and clear all their doubts. You know, why they objecting, why they opposing. Why they opposing is ulama ikiram and this Buzrugan al-Din. You have a big gathering. And so Mawlana explained to him, alright, you see, before us there was another jamaat. Before us there was another jamaat, and people opposed them as well, right? And before that jamaat was another jamaat, that was the Sahaba-i-Kiram. And there were people that had opposed them as well. Before us was one jamaat, it was the Aimma-i-Kiram, Imams of Hadith, Imams of Fiqh, etc. And people had opposed them, right? And before the Aimma, the Imams of Hadith and Imams of Fiqh, there was another jamaat, and people had opposed them as well. That was the Sahaba-i-Kiram, right? And before the Sahaba-i-Kiram, there was another jamaat. It was the jamaat of the Anbiya. And they had oppositions as well. Right? So what you do, you work in the sequence, you know, in the tartib you work. You first make a gathering, you have a gathering of your own. And those people that had opposed the Anbiya, those people that had opposed the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you go and eliminate all their doubts. So we work out, we're working in tartib now, coming from the Anbiya alayhi salam, right? So all the doubts and all the ishkal, they got all objections against the Anbiya alayhi salam. You go and eliminate, go and eradicate all those doubts. When you finish with that, Then you come to the level of the Sahaba Ikram, and the doubts and oppositions that they had against the Sahaba Ikram, then go and answer all that. Right. When you finish with that, then you finish with the, you start off with the Imams of Fiqh and Hadith, and eliminate all that doubts and clear it up also. And then, when that is over, phir hamara number aayega, phir hum tayar ho jayenge. Then will be our number. Then we'll come, you know, accordingly, we'll come on the line. And then we are prepared for that, inshallah. Now, thodi der ke liye, chare soch mein par gaya. For some time, he fell into a thought now, how to answer this one. So now he's got no answer. So he says to Mullah, but, isme haraj kya hai? What's the problem if you have it? So Mullah says to him, that there is no problem, but you tell me, are you my boss to tell me that this is the tartib, this is the sequence that I must adopt? So no. So well, then you carry on. Then you carry on. You're not my boss. You're not an authority over me. I'm showing you that you follow the sequence. You want to follow the sequence? Well and good. If you don't want to follow the sequence, then with the blessings, with your blessings, you carry on. Our Buzugara Deen say that these type of answers come to the person that is the wali of the zamana, the kutub of the zamana. The zamana, you have, in every zamana, you have special elite awliya-i kiram, Buzugara Deen, and Allah Ta'ala inspires their hearts. He inspires their hearts in such a way that the audience and the Muslims generally, their hearts become clear of suspicions, doubts, etc. Their hearts are cleared up. Do you see the importance of sitting in the company of such people? See? So I explained just now that hum qawmun la yashqa jalisuhum. That there are people coming at different levels. One is a person coming for the blessings of an assembly. So that group also is not unblessed. Right? It's not unblessed. Right? Allah Ta'ala has got different ways to guide people. That is his prerogative how he will guide. It is his prerogative how he will guide. Hazrat Ji Muhammad Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to explain the incident of Habib Ajmi, consumer of interest and ruthless. When you say ruthless, really ruthless. Ruthless consumer of interest. In spite of him being a Muslim, but a ruthless consumer of interest. Man doesn't have, he doesn't have the installments for the month. So he'll go up to his house. Yes, you don't have the installment to pay for this month. Alright. Then what's cooking in this house? I will have all that. And sometimes it is the only food for the entire house, the entire family. And now they have to pay the installments, they have to honor it. Right. And he will take it out. These people are starving inside and he's not concerned about it. Anyway, the food that he brought home one day, whatever it was, that thing turned into rock. When it turned into stone or rock, now he says to his wife, okay, perhaps this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, that this is perhaps a message from Allah ta'ala, that you see those people were starving, and we brought away their food. And that food of theirs is transformed into stone. So perhaps this is a message for us. Otherwise our hearts could have become stone hearted. So Allah Ta'ala protected and guarded our hearts from becoming like stone. He showed us that this thing becomes stone. So he said, come what may, and now I need to rectify myself. I need to correct myself. You see, this is Islam. We're talking of rectification. And there are different ways. Allah Ta'ala guides His creation in different ways. Whichever way whoever adopts, we appreciate it, right? But the problem is that we don't become complacent at any point. This is the problem. We don't become complacent at any point. In deen, this is the thing that keeps you back. That at some point you come and you become complacent. No, my Islah is done. I've got enough now, I can carry on. In dunya, we aren't complacent. We have got one property on the second one. We've got one investment on the second one. We always have the feeling of insecurity. What's going to happen if this thing is going to fall? Or this country is going to fall? What's going to happen? See? So this feeling of insecurity is there all the time. All the more, with our deen, we need to not be complacent. I need to progress. Admiral Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, ke, is raah mein koi jumood nahi hai. There is no stagnation in this path. Ya to aage ko barhe, ya to piche ko utar aao. Either you progress, otherwise you will come down. So in deen, one needs to look for progress all the time. And here, moreover, we are looking for the progress and the correction of the heart. I explained this in the morning as well. The correction and the progress of the heart. The dirt, the filth, the problems that we have with the heart, we come here to learn how to remove that. إِذَا صَلُوحَتْ صَلُوحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ As the hadith says, that once this heart comes right, everything goes right in this human body, everything goes right. But this in itself is corrupt, then the whole body goes wrong. So we come here primarily to rectify the heart. Right? Then we join the other ibadat, etc. Very good. It's nur alan nur. But primarily, what do we come for? We come to rectify this. We learn. We don't know, we ask, we question, we find out, have a concern that there is something in my heart. And the hadith is saying now, once the person has got that fikr, then he will say, now the hadith says that when the heart is right, then the whole body will come right. But I've got malice in my heart. I've got some grudge against that person in my heart. When I do things, I do it for a little bit of show, you know, ostentation. So I've got this problem in my heart. I am quite jealous about others. They progress and I can't see them progressing. I have a little bit of pain in my heart when I see someone else progressing. So now what do I do? I see him progressing. Now he is my cousin, he is my brother, he is making so much of wealth, and I don't make that type of wealth. And I feel a feeling of jealousy within my heart. What do I do under the circumstance? So now the person studied that hadith, or he heard the hadith, and he studied it with sincerity. Now definitely he must have a concern. He must have a fikr. Now I find this problem in my heart. I feel arrogance in me, within me. I see my niyat is not right at times. They show in my heart. Sometimes I see greed within me. Sometimes it is that the anger has the better over me. I become unjust in my decisions as a result of the anger overwhelming me. I'm overwhelmed with anger now. What do I do? See? But this is for that person, in the words of Hazrat Ji Muhammad Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah, Talib al-Sadiq ma'al fikr. Provided the person has got a true urge, and he's got a concern. You have got a true urge. You want to learn it, you want to seek it, and you want to seek it with truth, but you are concerned as well. Now, a person is not concerned, obviously you come, you get entertained and you leave. But if you have that concern, oh, I've got the problem still. I still have jealousy in me. I still have a little bit of pride in me. I'm still greedy about others. I'm envious over others. I have this problem. And I'm worried now that the hadith says that if this thing goes wrong, then my whole body will be corrupt. All my actions will be corrupt. And if this goes right, then everything will be right. So I have this problem. How do I get my feet? How do I search for my feet? How do I look for my feet? And I haven't got my bearings right. See, what is the theme here? The theme is get this heart right. This is the theme of a khanqa. When you notice and identify your problems, then you try and look for the rectification, look for the reformation, correction. So this Habib Ajmi, when he saw this food of his transformed into stone, now the fikr came into his mind. Allah Pak wanted and desired for his reformation and correction. So Allah Ta'ala created a situation for him. You see, when you find difficulties on your way in this world, then really it's not a difficulty, it is a blessing. Just that we are naive in our intelligence and our sight, so that difficulty we feel as a problem. We consider it as a musibat and a calamity. It's not a calamity. really it is a blessing. That if that difficulty didn't come our way, then we would have opened our eyes to righteousness. But now that difficulty comes, I'm making dua, istighfar, tawbah, everything. Now you see that man is coming right. That's human nature, that until that problem is not suspended on your head, you don't open your mind. Don't you receive the madrasa all the time. And until you don't show him that you have to sit for that examination, and that examination will determine whether you're going to progress in the next year, or you're going to go backwards. Now, whole night, whole day, teach me this kitab here, that masla here, this book here, I don't understand, and this one I didn't understand. But the whole year, then he didn't worry. Now when the examination comes, now he's worried. So this examination really was a blessing. Had it not been for this, then the student would have remained right backwards. Now really that's a blessing. Although he considers it at some time as a punishment, but it's not a punishment, it's a blessing, it's a means for his progress. So when difficulties come really, these difficulties are blessings. In most cases, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Sometimes a small calamity is set before you, then you come back to the cause. So Allah Ta'ala returning you back to the cause definitely is His blessing. Now Habib Ajami says, no, I have to go and do something. I have to sort myself out. I have to sort my life out. I see this problem within me. Now I have to go and sort my life out. So he seeks out for the truth. He's out. As he passes a group of children playing in the park, one child is calling out to the other, "By run away. Don't come under the shadow of Habib Ajami, lest you fall under his shadow, maybe the fire of Jahannam may get you. Maybe the fire of Jahannam may get you." Now he is feeling so remorseful that innocent little children, this is the type of impression they have of me. This is the impression they have of me. So really I'm a rotter. And really it's not they that are talking, it is someone that is making them to talk. So, I need to do something for myself. And now the concern has built up even more. Come what may, and I need to correct myself. At length, he comes to the Majlis of Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayh, and there he makes tawbah, etc. And he is sincere, and he has made a firm resolution that I am going to leave this. Come what may, I have to become penniless. But I'm going to throw all this back away. I don't want this. Now when he's made this firm resolution, Allah Pak likes this. See, once you made that tawbah and you resolved, that at that moment, Habibullah, you become the friend of Allah. You become the beloved of Allah. But that must be an absolutely firm resolution. It's something that you don't change, you don't break. You're going that way and you're going that way. You're not going to make any changes after. Come what may after that. That's called a resolution. Now the same Habib Ajami, now he's made tawbah, istighfar, firm resolve, I'm not going to touch this half a cent, even though I have to die, I have to starve, I'm prepared for that. He's coming back the same road, comes through that group of children that are playing. Now those same children, one child is saying to the other child, that come near Habib Ajami, if his shadow falls onto you, perhaps you may become jannati. Ab kon unse bula raha hai? Who is making these children talk? It is Allah that is making the children talk. Now they were calling him a Jahannami. And now they are calling him that Allah's blessings may fall on you if his shadow just falls onto you. So this is what is to be sought in the khanqa, that fikr for the rectification of the soul, the rectification of the mind, of the heart. Okay, we are going off. I've got this problem, jealousy, greed, pride, ostentation. My sight is not right. My ears are not right, my tongue is not right, anger has the better over me, I become a slave of lust and temptation. Now how do I get myself right? See? Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.